Hey, we're back. Hi. Asterix are we're here.
Yep.
We're pumped.
We're alive.
I'm really pumped. We're alive. I'm ready to bring you the goodness.
The goodness. Oh my goodness.
Freshness.
Mm-hmm. Too fresh.
I'm here, I'm Ethan. I just ate Taco Bell and I am psyched. And over there. Did you eat Taco Bell?
No, I ate Panda Express.
That's Coogee. He ate Panda Express.
Yep, yum.
It's been a long time, but now we're back to talk about a little movie I call Ratatouille.
Mm-hmm.
Do you call it that too, though, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I found out what Ratatouille actually was because of this movie.
I think, yeah, that happens to most people. I don't think anyone really knew what it was. I'm guessing they came up with the title first, maybe, and then made the movie. I don't know. It's too good of a title movie combo
mm-hmm.
to pass up, I say.
Yes. Ratatouille. It is a peasant dish.
Yeah, it's a peasant dish, but it's also
very much
yummy, apparently.
Over the top French accents in this movie.
Have you ever eaten ratatouille, Coogee?
I mean, it was just like, it looked like it was just squash on a plate, really. I've eaten that, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like nicely plated. Nicely mm-hmm.
plated.
Squash is what I was trying to say. Right, a nice little circle. Oh, this doesn't look nice at all. Maybe that was just for the movie. Looking at a picture right now, it's just like a glob.
Yeah, it's like it's like the Dutch have a version of it. I think it's called stamppot, which is just like every leftover piece of crap you have in your kitchen, you just throw in a pot and smash it up. Might get that wrong, but I'm assuming it's something like that.
Yeah, no, that's right. You're 100% right. It's just all the shit you have left over, and it tastes good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works out.
Yeah. You know what else is good? This movie is good.
It is amazing.
I'm going to go on record and saying that.
And hats off to the director, Brad Bird, who did it again.
He did it again. You can't stop him.
Nope.
He's really infallible.
I mean, I don't know about that.
He's the new Pope.
He did make Tomorrowland, so.
Jesus, he's fallible.
Yes. But.
And Jurassic World.
Really?
Never mind. He was just a voice actor. Whoops. Sorry,
I
don't mean to put that on him.
That movie wasn't that bad.
Yeah, but really, why would you even put that on his Wikipedia? Whatever.
Yeah. All right.
Make me look like an idiot, that's why. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brad.
So Ratatouille, I had never seen it before, but you had, right, Coogee?
No, I never had either.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's new for both of us.
Wow. Is this the first time that that's happened? On this podcast?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I didn't see Cars.
I saw Cars.
Yeah, you loved Cars, whatever. So
I saw it. I loved it. I think that came across in the podcast, right? How much
yes.
I love that movie.
It's tough. Anyway, a little background on this movie. It was mm-hmm. released in 2007, June. And it made $620 million in 100. The box office.
Oh.
That's a lot. 620 isn't that much, but it made 620 million. That's a ton. And it has 96 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is normal for like all Pixar movies, really.
Yeah, it's a real return to form.
Mm-hmm.
Cars, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit of misstep there. A speed bump I think is a clever joke to make.
Yes. More like
they
those
came back strong.
Like those road spikes, more or less.
Yeah, they blew out all their tires.
Yeah.
They were careening into a ditch. But then in that ditch, they found a rat.
Mm-hmm.
And that rat's name was Remy.
That rat's name was Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, this movie really hinges on Patton Oswalt. He's the only real big name that they put in here. Most of the other movies have kind of, you know, a gaggle of stars behind it.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, this is just Patton Oswalt's show. He plays the rat.
He plays a rat. His name is
Remy Martin.
Remy?
I don't know if he has a last name.
It's Remy LeBeau.
Is it really?
No, that's. I don't know where that came from. Maybe I do.
Wow, that was a good poll. If it was anything.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Remy LeBeau is Gambit from X-Men. That's why I know that name.
Oh. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
That is a good poll.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I say that Patton's the only real big star, but apologies to Brad Garrett, who played August Gusteau. He
played the fattest man on earth.
Brad or the character?
I actually have my notes. Brad fucking Garrett. Because I'm so happy.
Is that a good thing, or is that a happy Brad Garrett?
Yeah, I was so happy to hear his voice. Oh, okay. I was really sad. Spoiler. His character dies in the movie, but then he becomes just a ghost or like a hallucination, more or less.
Yeah.
As he keeps reminding Remy through the movie, like, you made this up in your mind. You are insane.
Yeah, I did like how they kept going back to that. Where it's just like, I'm not a ghost. I'm just your lonely imagination.
Yeah, which is kind of a bummer, but...
Yeah, this movie... if you want to just jump right into it, it starts off pretty intensely, I would say. So it's got like a little, you know, character intro for like the first 5-10 minutes, but after that it really ramps it up. So we start with one of those classic, like, you're wondering how I got here, you know, freeze frames.
Yeah.
What they do in TVs and movies, where Remy is like jumping out of a window, there's shotgun blasts all over the place, and then he starts doing some narration. And then we get introduced to his little family, his family of rats.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his dad Django.
Which, do they even say that in the movie at all? Maybe they do. I just remember.
They did at some point.
All right.
But not enough for the fact that his name was Django.
His name was Django for, you know, rats all named Django.
Mm-hmm. He was voiced by Brian Dennehy,
mm-hmm.
who you'll know from Gorky Park.
I was going to say as Tommy Boy's father also.
Yeah. That's the real way, you know.
Yeah.
Especially fans of this podcast.
And Brad Garrett from the Spanish national team. and Patton from being amazing. And also probably King of Queens, which I never watched, actually. I probably should do that.
I don't think you have to.
Okay. He also had a bit part in United States of Terra, that show about like multiple personality disorder.
Oh, was it? That's a clever name then. I never knew what that was about. I never watched that show.
It was okay.
The title is better than Split, I would say.
Yeah.
Split's a little on the nose.
You're not going to like what comes next? Or whatever. Those ads are so dumb. He's going to get you. Or when he like... Ugh, God, the movie's rough, but especially...
Wait, you saw it?
No, just the ads are really...
Yeah. I got really excited that you saw that.
Let's see. A couple notes for the intro.
Yeah.
I was a little worried about the movie, like it was going to be good or not. So I wrote, I wish this was just Les Mis. Because I love that movie. But
just Les Mis redone with rats.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that with Patton Oswalt as like lead. Instead of Eddie Redmayne, it'd be great. Yeah,
yeah, that's true. I'll give points to Patton on that one.
Yeah. He could do it. He's got the range.
He could have done the Russell Crowe part.
Okay, that's insulting to Patton. You mean Javert?
Javert. That's right.
The law.
And Brad Garrett as Jean Valjean.
Oh my God, Evie. So I'm kind of upset they didn't cast him as Jean Valjean. And I also wanted to note they made a claim that France has the best food, and that is incorrect by a long shot. Italy has the best food, 100%.
Ooh.
Don't even get started on France. Come on.
Yeah, don't get me started either.
They should have a...
I mean, you could if you want.
They should have a Ratellini movie. I would see that.
A pasta fazool.
Ooh, it'd be a... I'm trying to think of some food pun, but it's not coming to me. They say manicotti, but that's just a man.
The story of a man trying to be a chef.
Born from the sewers. All right.
Well, yeah, like you were saying, you know, you weren't sure if it was going to be good. I feel like I've heard it is good, but the movie never really got a lot of attention, I didn't think.
No.
I mean, maybe I missed it. I don't know. But, like, it is not held in the highest... I mean, it's not, like, talked about the way that, you know, Toy Story or any of the other movies are talked about. I think it's on that level.
Yeah. I mean,
and
I'm trying to think of where... Because June 2007, we would have just been graduating. I hate to date us, but we would have just been graduating high school at that point.
Yeah, quit dating us, man.
Yeah. Ugh.
Oh, this is our 10-year anniversary.
I know.
Are we gonna go to the thing? We can go to the same high school. I don't know why I'm asking. Yeah. We're going together.
Can I go to yours?
Yeah, sure. Come on by.
Well, the girl who was supposed to plan the one for our school got preggers, and I'm pretty sure she's not gonna do it anymore.
What? So the one person was doing it, then everyone just crapped out.
She's got knocked.
There's no backup plan.
Nope, no backup plan.
That's what she gets for getting knocked up in a reasonable amount of time after high school.
And yeah, stuck for life, I guess. Ooh.
Yes. I wonder if this one.
Shout out to all our pregnant listeners. Shout out to all you.
Yeah, all you pregnant pregos out there.
Plan my reunion.
Yeah, come on, you pregoos. You're good at planning stuff, right?
That'd be a good movie, Pregoo, about a pregnant person trying to learn how to cook.
That's actually a really good idea. But she's got like crazy appetites.
Yeah.
Like pregos do. You know, she's like, oh, this would taste good. It's a cucumber and ice cream.
You know what? I was just going to say, they have some weird combinations that might work. That's good experimenting for, you know, cooks. Hey, Pixar, get on.
Kickstart this movie, guys.
Yes.
Indiegogo it. We're going to make it.
I wrote a note here that I want to share with you.
Yeah.
I wrote, fuck rats, because...
Hey.
As you and I both know very well, rats aren't very fun to have. We shared a boarding situation at some point, and
we could get that out of the way. We could jump into that right now.
Yeah, we had a rat named Poison and some other family members of that rat. And
yeah, talk about Prego.
Oof, tons of rats.
Poison had like a million babies in our apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had an apartment. Mm-hmm. It was not well maintained.
Mm-mm.
And we compounded the issue though, because we stored a bunch of those like plastic grocery bags in our closet that we never looked into ever.
Yeah.
So one day we looked in there and it was a full blown rat's nest. We had given them all the materials they need.
Yes. It was like Fraggle Rock. We gave them all those little like sugar sticks or whatever.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, they grew fat and happy in there.
Also, instead of dealing with it like we should have, we kind of just boarded off the kitchen and just let them have free reign. They were slowly annexing parts of our house.
Yeah, like, in retrospect, I don't really know what our holdup was, but we kept just ignoring it and, I guess, hoping he'd go away.
I look back on that a lot and I don't understand. Because then when I moved out, you just, like, called the guy and, like, yeah, okay. And they just dealt with it, like, immediately.
One day I was in there. Maybe because we were moving out soon. I don't know. Maybe we just didn't want to deal with it. But I was in the kitchen, which was my mistake. And then poison ran over my bare feet.
Oh, oh!
And I was like, okay, that's the straw.
That's it?
Yeah, that was where I drew the line. Like, okay, I'll live in a house with a rat's nest 5 feet away, but the second he touches my skin.
Yeah.
So then we tried to take matters into our own hands using your BB gun.
It was an airsoft gun.
Airsoft. Oh, that's true. It was airsoft. Yeah. So it looked like a Glock.
Mm-hmm.
And I popped off a few rounds. May or may not have shot a baby in the face.
Yeah, a couple babies.
A rat baby, not a human baby.
Yeah.
Let's clarify.
And then Poison, being the dick mom that she was, just bailed immediately.
Well, we're not really sure what happened, so...
I think she bailed.
You think she bailed?
I think she bailed.
So we knew where the little rat's nest was, and I kind of took a blind shot in there just to scare him.
Yeah.
But I definitely hit a baby because the baby started crying.
Yeah, and it was loud.
Poison. Yeah, it was really loud and really sad. Poison comes running in into the rat's nest, and then like 2 seconds later runs out, and then the babies were gone. So we don't know if either she ate them, which is possible.
Yeah.
Maybe she's somehow... Do rats have pouches? Did she stuff them in a pouch?
Maybe she was an Australian rat. I don't know.
Maybe she's an Australian rat. And then she ran up, scurried away. Never to be seen again until we caught her with a trap.
Which was the work of...
What was that?
I was going to say, I think we caught like 3 different rats in like the small traps we had. And then I built a couple traps that didn't work.
Oh, yeah, your homemade trap was a thing of beauty.
I worked so hard on that, and it should have worked. Did not work.
Would you put, like, a sharpened stick in there at the end of a... It was like an old... It wasn't a shoebox. It was like a metal box that we
It was like one of those, like, modular, shelving things, but it was, like, wireframe.
Yeah, so you also sharpened, like, every wire sticking out of it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember you, like, bent it into... It was really menacing looking.
Yeah, it was supposed to just crush everything, but it would have killed the rat.
Torture device.
If it went in there. And then also, let's not forget, when I went home one day to go to the... I would regularly go in the kitchen after coming home, like, after going out to get, like, a beer out of the fridge. And just scream at the rats, just like, I hate all of you, get out. Trying to reason with them because that would work. And then one time I thought there was like just like an extension cord in the ground. JK, it was a snake.
Yep. That's right, I forgot.
Yeah.
Full-blown snake.
Our problem got so bad there was a snake to deal with the rats. We had a whole ecosystem in there.
Well, I was hoping the snake would do something, but he just kind of chilled in our kitchen like our dining room. He wasn't even in the kitchen. I was like, "Come on, snake!
We should have put him in the back. We should have put him in the closet."
Yeah, I wasn't there for the snake, but that would have been a good idea. I did. I actually did bring in a feral cat into our house.
I remember that you took one of my cans of tuna, you dick.
Yeah, I lured the cat to the house, thinking if nothing else, maybe his smell would scare the mice away. But did not work either. They were tough rats.
Yeah, Poison and the crew.
But man, yeah. Then we caught it in the trap, and it was so fat.
Yeah,
because he was just eating all our food.
wasn't it, didn't they say like there was just like a hole in the wall, and it was just like right into a branch or something that just let all the rats in?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like most of Gainesville, there were like trees all over, and the houses are old, so yeah, there was just a big hole, and they were getting into that nice cozy little shack we made for them. Pretty much it was as much our fault as the rats' fault.
It was,
but
fuck the rats.
It was really bad. At one point, like, I remember, like, I only ate McDonald's, I think, because I just didn't want to go in the kitchen.
Yeah, it got... I was lucky I got free food at work most of the time. So it just...
Yeah.
I got to a point where I would just... Even if I bought beers, I would literally have, like... I would have a sixer of PBRs in my room, just, like, warm, that I would just drink because I didn't want to go to the fridge.
You just keep it under your bed for safekeeping.
Yeah, it was, like, the most Gainesville thing I ever did.
And then the rat made it up to the bedrooms shortly before it was the final straw. So I heard it one night, like, running around my room.
Really?
That was really upsetting. But
also the floor, like, had, like, missing panels. So, like, they would, like, run up the floors from the wall somehow. I don't know. There was, like, so many, like, nooks and crannies in the house.
It was really a perfect scenario for a rat.
Yeah, it was great.
Until we killed them all. But that's the way it's gotta be.
And then I moved to Boston, where they just die because it's too cold.
Yeah, see, that's the other problem. You need a nice, a good old cold snap to freeze them all to death.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. Rat problem.
Here's a rat success story.
Our rat could have maybe had heightened taste and smell, similar to Remy. That's kind of his superpower there. So he becomes, for the rat clan, their food tester for poison, because he can detect when there is poison.
Yeah.
But he's not satisfied with that. He wants to be a chef, like Gusto, the chef that he watches on TV in the house of the old lady when she falls asleep. Anyway, oh yeah, and also somehow he speaks, or doesn't speak, I guess, but reads English.
That's another thing. He understands English perfectly. He can read, but somehow, like, that never comes into play, like, when he's trying to, like, talk to the goon that he, like, hangs out with.
Well, yeah, I guess we'll get to that, but he does develop an understanding with a human without speech. But
also on a, I really enjoyed the scenes where it showed, like, him smelling, and it was like Pharrell. Mm-hmm. It was like smelling sounds or whatever. Like, he was like smelling colors and stuff. A little synesthesia.
Yeah, that was a clever way to, like, show taste and flavor. They would have the character kind of enter like a blacked out dreamscape, and then there's like jazz lines around them and music playing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of what it's like, I guess. I don't know.
Also, they kept, like, showing him be bipedal, which is, like, a theme throughout the movie. Like, he was trying to be human, sort of. But, like, can rats do that? I don't think rats have the structure to just be bipedal for their...
No, the movie probably isn't too anatomically correct for rats here. But yeah, that's true. That is, like, kind of an underlying theme to the whole thing. Remy kind of just hates being a rat.
Yeah.
And hates his other rat brethren, and he just wants to be a human.
Because there's this through line in the movie that's, like, rats steal, and that's bad. But it's...
Yeah, that's another... They kind of touch on that a couple times, but it never really goes anywhere.
Yeah.
Because Remy's thing is that, yeah, stealing is bad. So he should just, I guess, learn how to cook. But his dad's just like, it's not stealing because we're just eating garbage. Which is, I'm pretty sure, a pretty fair point, I would say.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, Remy argues that, but it's like, yeah, what are you arguing? I mean, it's garbage. They threw it out. It's fair game,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah. I mean, pretty sure it's a felony, but, I mean, whatever.
Stealing garbage is a felony?
I don't think you can, like, go through someone's trash. I don't think you're allowed to do that.
I can't eat their food that they threw out?
You could probably eat their food. As long as you don't eat any documents.
And you're yeah, fine. I guess don't eat documents. Don't know. Yeah, that's definitely don't eat the documents. So yeah, Remy's a self-hating rat, and he wants to just be a chef because he learned from the chef Gusteau, whose big thing was that anyone can cook. So why not a rat? Because they're gross and they carry disease? Yeah, that's a good point. But not the point this movie's trying to make.
They showed him wash his hands a lot. Well, they rinsed them. But I mean, they
yeah, he never uses soap.
They tried to, like, demonstrate, like, hygiene matters and stuff. I appreciated that. Also, the whole, like, his thing is, like, anyone can cook. I really like that concept because I feel like that's a very, like, it goes beyond cooking. Obviously, it's like anybody can achieve what you want sort of thing. Very Pixar-y to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they latch onto for this movie. Anyway, I mean, that's his dream to be a chef. So it's like anyone can achieve their dreams, which is, yeah, kind of the basic driving force you could expect from a lot of their movies here in Pixar. All their touchy-feely stuff. All right. So did you... You like Patton Oswalt, is what you're saying.
Love him.
Did you like Remy, the rat?
I feel like it was a little bit of, like, Patton's personality coming through. But then some of it, like, I don't know. I mean, I think overall I did.
You liked him? Okay. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought he was a little annoying. Kind of a bit of a douche.
At times, yeah.
Yeah, a little pretentious.
He didn't really like a lot of it was bothering me when, like, Alfredo, who's the, we should eventually go through the plot, but
yeah, we should probably speed this up. Yeah,
we'll get to it. So pretty much they live in this random, basically like the trailer from all the other Pixar movies in California equivalent to in France, yeah. Which. Yeah, whatever. And then he gets struck by lightning and doesn't die somehow. And then they all live in this old lady's house.
Yeah.
And they steal food from her and stuff. And he's getting audacious. And he's, like, going in her kitchen and almost getting seen.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in her attic. And so she finally sees him at some point, shoots a rifle, which opens up an umbrella for some reason, which doesn't make any sense. And then she shoots, like, 30 times in the roof. Kills no rats, mm-hmm. but the rats, like, are, like, the structural foundation of the roof, it looks like, because there's so many.
Yeah.
And they have, like, a Exodus-esque escape plan through the sewers.
Yeah, that was a really thoroughly thought-out escape plan they have for this exact scenario.
Yeah, they have, like, boats and stuff.
Yeah, they had boats at the ready. I wonder. How often do you think they check those boats to make sure they're there and ready? I don't know.
Probably a lot.
Worked out really well. So that's what I'm saying. Like, the movie starts out pretty intense because, like,
yeah,
within 10 minutes, this, like, inciting incident happens where the lady of the house finds out the rats are there and then starts just, like, shooting them like crazy. I don't remember a lot of another Pixar movie that hinges on someone with their shotgun almost blowing away the hero.
Also, like, if you see, like, one rat, I don't think I'd ever shoot at it in my own house.
No, that was a little I mean, I'd shoot at it with an airsoft gun for sure.
Yeah, only the babies.
Been there, done that. Cap that baby right between the eyes. So yeah, she shoots up her house and scares all the rats away, and then they get onto their little boats, and as they're escaping, Remy gets held up a little bit and gets separated from the rest of his clan.
By the way, she's still shooting at them all the while. She's like following them, shooting at them instead of calling like National Geographic, like, hey, I found rat boats.
Yeah, I wrote down that it was a bit of an overreaction to even start shooting at them in the first place with your shotgun, but then she's not content with them just leaving her house. She wants to make sure, like, she genocides all of them.
Yeah, generations must die.
And she chases them far away from her house, tries to just blow them away. But, yeah, that's what kicks off the movie here. Remy is on his own. There was a, real quick, there was a good laugh I had in the beginning here. So Remy's watching the TV show with his favorite chef, Gusteau, who I guess is just always on that TV, whatever. Yeah. But right before all this happens, he finds out that Gusteau died because it's positing in this little TV he's watching that he died because he got a bad review from the critic Anton Ego, voiced by Peter O'Toole.
AKA the Grim Eater.
They call him that in this?
They do.
That's a good name. So they show that he was distraught after losing the one star, so it's now a 4-star restaurant. So distraught that he dies. And then the joke that got me was that it said, in tradition, the French tradition, having died, he loses another star. It was very funny. So that was a 3-star restaurant.
Which is a shit.
And then, yeah, that's right. When Remy finds that out, is right before the lady gets the shotgun and sends this whole movie a-going.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get taken now with Remy. He finds some place in the sewer to stop and just kind of like gives up on life pretty quickly. I mean, he's pretty distraught because he kind of ruined the life for his entire clan, and he's, you know, is thinking he's never going to see his dad or his brother again.
Yeah.
So it's understandable. But this is when he starts to imagine Chef Gusteau as like his little buddy.
Yeah.
To keep him company.
To which I wrote, I wish Brad Garrett would haunt me. He's even great. But they also...
Just like, as Brad Garrett?
Yeah, not even his character, just Brad Garrett. Yeah, well then he like gets inspired by the specter and he goes up to the top and he realizes, oh, I'm in Paris.
Yeah. Now this, I wrote a couple of things here. You said you hate rats, and I've had bad experiences with rats, but
yes.
I think they got a bum rap. They're pretty awesome because they're just like the toughest friggin' mammal around. You can't kill them. But I think the reason that everyone hates them, the reason I hate them, is because of their like rat tail. So gross.
Is it the tail?
If they had a fluffy tail, they'd be a squirrel. And everyone loves squirrels, right?
Yeah. I mean, I love squirrels.
Yeah. It's the fluffy tail.
You like babysat a squirrel the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, I used to. Yeah, I once babysat a squirrel. And it was adorable. And I miss that squirrel every day. But if he had a rat tail, probably wouldn't like him too much.
Yeah, probably would choke him out.
Yeah, I would put him in a sleeper hold. Day one. So that like you're saying, he runs out. He gets inspired by this his own imagination, and then he runs up out of the sewer to realize he's in Paris, and it's a really great scene of him like running up progressively higher through the little town he's in. Because his imagination tells him to keep moving and moving instead of just like stopping at the first food he finds.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this would be a perfect scene to be a roller coaster. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean.
And then I found out.
Oh, yeah?
What?
Was it a roller coaster?
Well, there is a Disneyland France that has a Ratatouille roller coaster.
Why not America?
I'm telling you, Americans don't like rats because they're tails.
Yeah, but like a roller coaster could have a tail. That's fine.
Yeah, Americans do like roller coasters. And then, yeah, you could just put a tail on it, I guess.
I feel like another good roller, now that we're on the topic. Yeah. They also had...
My favorite topic.
Essentially, the sewers were like whitewater rafting. So it could be like one of those mixed ones where you like raft and then you go on a track, you know?
Yeah, it could really be like just those, that whole scene there. Like you start off getting shot at from a crazy old lady. And then you go in the wider rapids and then you run up the roof passing food and then you're in Paris and then that's how it ends.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the roller coaster in Disneyland France is kind of like that. It's like one of those ones where you're sitting down and like the movie's happening around you. I think.
Like the Minions just, ride they have?
They have a Minions ride? Jesus Christ.
Oh, wait. That's like Universal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's not Disney. Thank God.
But it's like you've the same.
You've got more sense than that. Yeah, it's
the same. I fell asleep during it. it was fun, though, I think.
You fell asleep on a roller coaster?
It wasn't a roller. It was one of those, like, it was like you sit in a theater and, like, the theater, like, moves. It was like the Ellen ride at Epcot.
The Ellen ride? Like Ellen DeGeneres?
Yeah. You ever been to Epcot, man?
No. Wait, I mean, I've been to Epcot.
There's, like, I forget what it's called, like, the... Something about energy, or it's like something like that. And it's like
Ellen Bill, about energy.
Bill Nye and Ellen like on an adventure together.
What?
How have
what
you?
A great pairing.
It is, and it's from like the 90s, which is weird because, I mean, she's got to, it's like ridiculously more famous than then. Bill Nye also, and then also it starts off like the whole shtick of it is like. They're on an episode of Jeopardy, and they get asked a question, and then it's like...
What?
So Alex Trebek's in it, too. At least I'm pretty sure that part happened.
Yeah, I don't know if any of this is happening in real life.
I think most of that's true.
You've been hitting that space ape too much.
Yeah, they go through, like, what oil is, and, like... I remember going to it as a kid, and they were like, in the future, solar energy and wind power is going to be the future. And then, like, 4 days ago, I was like, well, sorry, Ellen. Climate change is a myth, right?
What a crock.
Yeah. They lied to me. I can't believe Ellen would lie to me.
Yeah, it turns out Ellen can't predict the future. Sorry.
You know what? Climate change was a hoax started by Ellen. I have heard that. Reputable sources tell me that's true.
See, that, but 90s Ellen, yeah, but, like, 2016 Ellen, yeah. she could predict the future.
Dancing
Ellen.
She
can do no wrong. Yeah. All right, well, we find someone who can do wrong. Yeah. I don't know. That was a rough transition, but... So Remy finally finds the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
His own imagination or whatever leads him there. Cool, whatever.
Yeah.
And then... He gets up top of the restaurant. He's like kind of watching the scene happen, and it's really funny because like they're trying to do that thing where they kind of explain why this movie is important at all, and just like go through each person in the kitchen.
Yeah,
and it's great because like everyone he points out, he's like, oh, who's the chef? Who's the head chef? Oh, there you go. Who's the saucier? And like everyone who points out, he says, very important to the kitchen. Like literally everybody is important in the kitchen.
Also, I didn't
like come on.
They didn't like what's the word? They didn't like pull back on any like the exact French words for them. So I had no idea. Like, I mean, some of them aren't that like elaborate of words. Like sous chef, I understand, but like I don't know. Like some of them were like I don't know what that even means.
Yeah, I don't know what the other ones are. De Partie or something? Chef de Partie? I don't know what that is. I'm assuming something with desserts because it looked like the guy was making desserts.
Yeah, and then there was like a... I I'm looking at the words and I don't
try to pronounce one of them.
The guard manger.
I want that job.
See, I know the saucier because it's, you know, it's got sauce in there. That makes sense.
Saucier, yeah, that one's pretty easy to get. Also, yeah. It seems like a fun job. You're just making sauces all day.
Yeah, really. I like
to make a fine sauce.
And then, then he gets down in there, and he realizes that there's, what's the guy's name? I don't even know.
Linguini? Tall, lanky doofus?
Not Linguini. The guy who... Oh, Skinner, I guess? What? Really?
Oh, the head chef guy?
Yeah.
B.F. Skinner?
His name was Skinner,
name actually was. Yeah, I guess it was.
That's really strange, but okay. He was like the most French guy ever.
No. Skinner was... the German guy with like the weird pink face.
Was he?
Oh wait, no. Oh, sorry. No, you're right. Yeah, Skinner. That's a weird name.
Yeah.
It was voiced by Bilbo, though.
But sorry.
Ian Holm did the voice.
Yeah.
You would know him as Bilbo from the Bilbo Baggins story.
Oh damn! Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew he looked familiar.
Or Ash and Alien for our older listeners.
He wasn't... It wasn't Martin Freeman.
No, yeah, we're talking original Bilbo.
Yeah.
But not like the weird 70s cartoon show or movie.
Like Scary Face Bilbo in that one scene.
Yeah. Never forget that scene.
Oh, God, it really got me as a kid. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, and then Janine Garofalo was the lady chef. I don't know if you know that. Will Arnett was the weird pink-faced guy.
Yeah, who like...
Who's like German sous chef.
I feel like they could have dropped that character too, because he didn't really add anything. He was just like, he's weird and German.
Yeah, it is weird that they'd have Will Arnett. I mean, I guess maybe in 2007, maybe Will Arnett wasn't as big deal, but...
And then, I forget who LaRusse was. I gotta like look at it.
I got all the names right here. LaRusse... I don't know who that actor is. James Remar.
What? It was James Remar, but I can't remember which character he was. He was the guardmanger.
Guardmanger. They do the cool cold dishes. Interesting. Yeah, they really try and teach you a lot, but I did not pick up on any of them.
And then... let's see. Yeah. Then they had, I don't know, they had James Remar as LaRusse, the guardmanger, which...
The guardmanger.
I don't really... And they had... I know John Ratzenberger was the... He was the waiter, which I was happy he was in this. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. His name was Mustafa, too.
Yeah. Which is fun. Which... Also, they did that thing that all foreign movies do... That Americans make, American foreign movies.
Was that? It's not only a foreign movie. Yeah, yeah.
Where they just put everyone in the heavy. They speak broken French, but it's like a broken English, but like it's mostly French. Like, which postulates that like everyone in France just speaks broken English with a French accent.
Yeah, I wrote that down here too. Why does no one speak French? They just be all speak English in French accents. I guess there's a German guy in there too, so maybe English is the common language. I don't know.
Yeah, one guy. Yeah, and there's Alfredo Linguini, who could have been anybody. Like, they didn't really demonstrate where he was from.
Yeah, he was just a white dude. I really thought that was Casey Affleck doing the voice. I don't know why, but it's not.
No, it was not.
It's Casey Lou Affleck. Romano, who's not related to Ray Romano.
You know, I thought that for a long time, but...
Yeah. The names are spelled differently, too.
I figured you got Brad Garrett. Maybe, you know, you got one of the Romanos.
That's true. Yeah, that would have been great. So yeah, plugging along here. We're getting hung up a little bit.
Pull us back in.
So Remy finds the restaurant and then sees Alfredo Linguini. That's when we're introduced to him. He's the big Dumbo. he just starts at the restaurant as the garbage boy, but then he fucks up a soup and starts trying to remake it because he knocked it over. And this is when Remy's like, I gotta save the soup. Can't have the bad soup. That's when he falls in the restaurant. And then it was a great scene of him like trying to get out of there, which reminded me a little bit of Cars, like when Lightning McQueen is like first tries to get pulled over by the cops, and he's like trying to drive away, but it's really stupid because he just like runs into a fence and like it's all haphazard and just dumb.
Yeah.
But like this scene like actually did it well, where he's like keeps getting closer to his goal, but then like something natural happens to block him from getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Bird's a good director.
He is. I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm. Directed the hell out of this cartoon movie. And then Remy almost makes it out, but then he passes by the soup, and he can't resist making the soup better.
And I also want to note that the soup at smell was vomit-inducing, apparently, because everyone kept throwing up. Also, I made a note, real quick, the main guy, like, Skinner, the super French chef.
The bad guy, yeah.
Yeah, the bad guy is super short, and I feel like Disney has a thing out for, like, short people.
That's true, yeah. They had the super short, annoying boss in The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Probably other examples if I could.
I'm think sure this. I couldn't think of another one, but yeah. I don't know that kids in Monsters Inc. are the enemy, and they're all short.
they do a lot of. I think that's just an easy way to make the villain not be like scary to kids. You know, if he was like a normal sized guy, like screaming and afraid of Linguini's face, it'd be maybe a little intimidating, but since he's tiny, it's like, well, it's like every scene's gonna be funny with him in it.
That's I can see that.
No.
Okay, so to do a little quick thing, turns out,
yeah,
you find out mm-hmm. that Alfredo Linguini, the garbage boy, which I guess that's all he does, is actually the love child of Gusteau.
Yeah, the owner of the restaurant. What a twist.
What a twist. But Skinner's like, no.
Yeah.
He's like the what?
I was going to say he's like just like the forgotten love child.
Yeah. And he actually owns a business, but in like 3 days or whatever, it's okay. It like turns over to him somehow. I don't know. There's some time limit on it. So he only has like 3 days to make it to keep it from him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because Skinner took over the restaurant when Gusteau died, I guess, but it should really go to this kid, Linguini, but I guess it had been so long that, yeah, there's some bullshit that they made up.
Yeah. And then they're trying to cut a side deal. There's a lot of, like, subplots to this movie, too. They're trying to cut a side deal with a, like, I feel like it was, like, a Newman's Own sort of company. And
yeah,
to make frozen Gusteau things to Americans, I think was the goal.
Yeah, they're just using Gusteau's image to sell like cheap microwave meals. And this is what I wrote here because they're talking about doing that, but they taste terrible or something. Like I think they said the focus group said it's gross, and the guy's like, "Oh, who cares? It's Americans." And I was like, "Fuck you, Frenchies."
Also, I don't think, like, you should sell stuff if the focus groups are like, this is terrible. I don't think that's a good plan. But all the posters were really funny, though, because it was, like, him dressed up as Colonel Sanders, and it was, like, bone, or not bone picking. It was, like, yeah, it was, like, bone picking chicken, or there was a Scottish haggis delight or something.
Ugh.
Or haggis bites, that's what it was. And there was the Asian one that was kind of racist.
Yeah. Yeah, later in the movie, when Remy's in the office, Skinner's office, with all those like cardboard cutouts, they all start talking to him.
That's right.
And I wrote down, thank God they didn't have the Asian one talk.
I feel like they probably thought it out and they're like, ugh, bad idea.
Because all the other ones have like racist voices, but it's okay because like whatever, Mexican racist voice is funny, right guys? But yeah. Asian would have been way too far.
Well, they've had enough, I'm sure. You've seen Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah. Good old Mickey Rooney.
Or whatever.
Legend.
Like Long Dick Dong is in or whatever.
Yeah, we've got a long standing tradition. We should have kept it up. Long Dick Dong. Oh, man. So, yeah, we're kind of. Kind of running through the movie here.
Yeah, we're running really, really long on this.
Mostly because both of us saw this movie like 2 weeks ago.
And I would, yeah.
No,
what
were you?
Well, I was
high on Space Ape.
No, I was super sick. So I was really behind on my work, so I had to bail, and you had stuff to do too. So stuff got in the way, you know.
But life gets in the way, guys. Sorry. Deal with it.
All right, let's see. Somehow there's a whole montage where he like sees the rat cook and he's like, holy shit, are you actually doing that? And he takes a leap of faith. Then Remy decides he can control human, like it posits that you can control a human by pulling its hair like a marionette.
Yeah, which I mean, you just kind of have to get past that for the entire movie to work.
Yeah, it's
exciting. But I was just kind of like, because the movie is like set in such a realistic place. Like, Finding Nemo had Sydney, but most of the other Disney Pixar movies don't really have a like actual city they're based in.
That's true.
The fact that it was in Paris made it like a little bit harder to believe some of the crazy stretches in logic and physics, but I'm just being an asshole.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I like at the start of the movie, I'm like, because I didn't know, obviously, and I was like, I wonder how they're going to pull that off, because obviously it happens in the movie later. I thought maybe it was going to be like Morse code or something. I don't know, something that wasn't what happened. Yeah. Because then that leads to what I was going to talk about with him being a dick, like you were saying. So he gets like, there's like a faux, I don't know, it's kind of, I feel like heavy hand a little bit, where he like falls in love with Colette, which is excuse me.
Yeah, Janine Garofalo.
I don't know why character. I couldn't say it. Yeah, I have trouble with that.
Tattoo? Her name is Tattoo?
Her name is, well, she goes as Colette.
Oh, Colette Tattoo. Okay,
got it. Yeah, Colette Tattoo. Yeah, well, that's weird.
She's the rotisserie.
Yeah. Yeah, and so he's like, oh, dude, this. But she seemed like she was much older than, because he seemed like a kid.
And yeah. She's
like a woman.
Yeah, I thought that too. I assumed he was like a teenager and she was like in her 30s or something. Because even in the beginning when they first meet, like the chef Skinner, he confronts Alfredo Linguini and like is about to throw him out, but she kind of stands up for him. Yeah. So he's like, all right, he's yours to deal with. And like she even says something where she's like, I'm a woman in this industry and I've been trying to get to where I am. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you're not going to fuck it up. So yeah. I assumed it was like, okay, she's been like doing this for like 25 years. But no, then they start banging.
Yeah. Then they just like, but then Remy the whole time is like, clearly, or they make it. So Alfredo Linguini seems like, yeah, it's terrible. Seems like a better chef than she is. And like would push her hand out of the way and shit to like put the spices he wants in or something. Like they make it so he's like very like a terrible dude.
Yeah. And yeah, so when Remy's controlling him, he's a dick. So he's making him out to be a dick, but he's also like doing it in a way where he looks like he's very much insane. The kid, Alfredo Linguini, because he like doesn't know what he's doing and he's like walking all weird and stuff. It's like this kid would be thrown into a mental institution in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He was fucking around the kitchen. I wrote down when they do the little training montage when like Remy's learning how to control the kid Alfredo with his hair. I thought it'd be really funny if he's like chopping food And they do like, they show the food, he's cutting it, it's like, okay, it's working. And then they cut back and he's like, got no fingers. It's just like blood gushing everywhere. He's like, oh.
They had him like blindfolded and stuff. I feel like there's like, he couldn't have been that bad at chopping stuff. Also, how did Remy know how to chop stuff?
That's true. He's never held a knife in his life. So they see the rat. They see Remy in the beginning, and they tell the kid Alfredo to get rid of him. And then he doesn't, but he's, of course, in his hat controlling him. And then there's like kind of a running gag where throughout the movie, only the head chef sees the rat.
Yeah, I was just going to say that too.
In his hat. Oh, okay. And I was, and they keep, the kid Alfredo keeps convincing him that there's no rat. So it was really gaslighting at its finest.
Yes.
I think is the real push of this movie. Were you going to say the same thing?
I was just going to say I love that whole through line because he's like going insane seeing this rat.
Yeah, I guess losing his mind. Understandably.
Yeah, yes.
If I saw a rat like cooking food, I'd lose my mind.
I don't think it's gaslighting if it's actually happening.
Yeah, so I'm new to this term. I thought it was just whenever you're convincing someone of something that's either not happening or convincing them something that is happening that it isn't happening. But whatever.
But instead, as a victim of gaslighting.
Oh boy. You're the authority here.
I don't know if I'm an authority. It's just, it's more putting it back on you. Like, it's like if he kept being a chef and then the chef kept seeing him like cook and stuff and he's like, I'm not cooking. What are you talking about? I'm not a chef. I don't work there. And he said it so much that the head chef went insane, starting questioning like if his perception of reality is real or if he even knows what real is anymore, or like just have an existential breakdown pretty much is the result.
A little too intense for a kid's movie, maybe.
It is.
They didn't go quite all the way. It's probably for the best.
It would have ended with him with a noose, I'm pretty sure, if that's
Jesus.
But then he does something terrible, and he gets... He also gets him super drunk, like forces a bottle of wine on Alfredo, the head chef does.
Oh, yeah.
To try to get him to admit it, but he like holds his own pretty well. I was impressed.
Yeah, I kind of totally forgot about that scene. But he tries to just get him to spill the beans, but I feel like he like kind of hints towards it, but he holds his shit together. Good for Alfredo.
Let's see. Then he finds his family. So, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's around here where he gets reunited with his brother Emil, who is playing the great role of the fat rat, which is always... always a favorite of mine. But mostly any fat animals, I guess. But in Cinderella, of course, there's Gus Gus, the fat rat.
Of course.
So there's keeping with the tradition of Disney having a fat rat in the movies. Just because they're so freaking adorable.
And then, well, then he like brought his cronies out too, which were also fat. But they were like fat like hood rats, like they're like
hood rats.
Yeah.
They're like the big muscular one.
Yeah, they were like mobster like guys.
See, that was the thing. So Remy finds his brother, and doesn't even really ask a single time if his dad's all right. He's like really obsessed with just showing him the food and everything, and then. The brother doesn't give a shit. He's just a fat rat. He's like, I'll eat garbage. It's fine. And then Remy's just kind of being a dick to him. But eventually he kind of gives in and goes back to the clan and they're having a big rat party.
Yeah, they're like, I wrote down, this is Rat Zion, like from the Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. Not quite as sexy, but...
And then they tried to like...
Basically.
I also wrote down Obama rat. I don't know why I wrote that down. I don't know. Was there an Obama rat?
I don't think there was an Obama rat. But maybe There's a, I wrote a quote about Remy's like, I want to make, not take, which hit home. Maybe that was inspiring to you, similar to Obama.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It was just maybe sad.
Yeah, maybe Obama's going to get fat now.
And then they like have a whole thing like, you're a rat, not a person, blah, blah, blah. And then they take him to a like a rat murder store, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fucked up.
Where they have like rats like lynched in the window.
Yeah, they're crucified.
Yeah, like what the fuck, France?
Like, yeah, is that a common thing in France? I wouldn't shop at a store that had crucified rats in the window.
No.
Even if I hated the rat in my house.
Like, just like, say like, hey, we got rat killer. That's it. We gotta say we get it.
Yeah. We know what a dead rat looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. I also wrote down... Yeah, so, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was gonna say, I also said, does consent not exist in France? Because... He basically just jumps on that woman.
Yeah. Does Remy make him do it? I can't remember.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So the kids, Alfredo's not really like making his move. So Remy like forces, Alfredo to force himself on the woman. But then she likes it. So, all right. I guess that's how it works, kids.
I feel like that was a French thing too. Because earlier in the movie, they had some guy like punch a woman in the face or something, and then she like kisses him. And they're like, yeah, France. Romance is crazy here.
Those stupid, passionate people.
Mm-hmm.
This was also the scene where I really was questioning what time period this movie was supposed to be in. Did you have an idea of when the movie's supposed to take place?
No, I just thought it was, like, contemporary.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. But then, like, the lady's watching the really old TV in her house.
That's true.
And then, I don't know, it seemed like a lot of stuff was, like, older. But then the girl, after he forces himself on her, she rides away in, like, a brand new motorcycle.
So they go, okay. I thought that was a weird choice, too. I guess there's, like, French girls are rough. I don't know.
Yeah, they're badass motorcycle bitches. Yeah.
Then, let's see. Then Remy... Yeah,
we're flying through it.
Remy steals some documents, shows them to Alfredo. He finds out, and he takes over the restaurant. The old chef gets thrown out. Then they burn all those, like... Newman's Own treats with wine. I noted they poured a bottle of wine and lit it as if it was like grain alcohol, which wouldn't work. Also, don't waste wine.
Yeah, and I kind of thought that was where the movie was going to end, and I was fine with that. I was like, yeah, this is a good ending. This is fine. But, no. It kept going. And my notes started to get a little weird here. They, they burn all the old cardboard cutouts and all the burritos, too. And I said, that's a waste of frozen burritos. And then, they have, like, a news conference or something. And I wrote something about, I said body shaming, LOL. I don't remember what that's about.
I wrote fresh perspective and underlined it. Don't know what that's about.
right after that, I wrote, in quotes, I don't swallow. I don't know what that's about either.
No, I remember what that's about. I remember that. The Grim Eater, Antoine Chigurh, or whatever his name was. They're like, yeah, I know this is what your other thing's about too. He's really skinny, and they're like, why are you so skinny? You're a fucking food critic, you weirdo. And he's like, I don't swallow.
That's right. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, thank you. Brings up. I can't tell you what your note means, though.
Okay. I also wrote, I don't think critics. And then nothing else.
Man, you were on to something.
I was going to say something really profound. Let's see. Then the chef gets really angry, calls a health inspector to come.
Because he's convinced about the rats at this point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but it's at this point that, sorry, but this is, I can't remember. I guess he, Remy, maybe the fresh perspective you're talking about is the kid chef kind of pushing away from Remy. Because they have their little falling out.
Yeah.
Because Remy's like trying to control the kid, and he's like trying to do his own thing, trying to bang that older lady. And then they kind of have kind of a forced like falling out, and Remy just like goes back to being a rat pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Which they show by him like walking back on his paws again, his all fours. So it's like, oh, yeah. And then they call in the health inspector. I think doesn't he walk in on like the rats stealing food or something?
No, Alfredo walks in on the rats stealing food, and then
he gets
a little angry, and then
that's why they have their falling out.
Yeah, and then when he's all solemn and reflecting, the old chef kidnaps Remy, and then Remy's friends just walk up on a building and just delicately push gargoyles off into the car.
That's right.
Just these loose gargoyles everywhere.
And that opens the trunk to the car where Remy's being hidden. That's right.
And then
I'm putting it back together here.
Yeah. And then because the Grim Eater is going to come back in like 2 days for like a super cool meal. And then everyone bails on everything, and then the rats just have to cook.
Well, yeah, because finally, I think the whole thing that's happening is Remy is really he's upset that he's not getting the credit he deserves for doing all the cooking, really. So at one point, I guess he convinces the kid Alfredo to just like come out with it and tell everyone that there's been a rat controlling him the whole time, cooking all stuff. And then, appropriately, the entire kitchen quits on him because they realize he's insane. And I guess even if he's not insane, that's still really weird.
I didn't like that because, like, that's, like, still your job. Like, you're still a cook. Like, just because the head chef is insane doesn't mean you have to, like, just bail. I don't know, like.
That's true.
Stick with that's it, true. Guys.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's kind of a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. No pun intended.
Yeah. So now they have to make this meal for the critic just by themselves. And at the same time, the health inspector's coming. But they've recruited the power of the entire rat clan to traumatize and kidnap the health inspector.
Yeah, yeah. And then he puts on roller skates like he's at a goddamn Sonic, and he skates around the entire place and delivers everything to the customers.
Yeah, and he's got like super duper rollerblading skills.
Yeah.
Which made me upset that they showed him the whole time riding a bike. Like, you should have showed him rollerblading the whole time, then it would have like made more sense that he's like an awesome rollerblader, but that's another nitpick.
Well, also, like, what I do. That bugged me because they made his character seem like a huge klutz and a goof, like, couldn't stand up straight. And
True.
All of a sudden, he's like a rock star and roller skating.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have kind of peppered that in a little bit more, but what are you going to do?
And then Remy decides he's going to make ratatouille.
That's right. So they've got, like, the special, I guess, meal for the critic, and yeah, he was gonna make the soup, I guess, but they want to try something different. Whatever, they make ratatouille because you have to make ratatouille at some point.
Yeah.
But the so, like I said, they have the entire Rat Clan working with them at this point. And somehow they all just kind of know how to cook.
Yeah.
Like he's giving them instructions, but they still need to have, like, some skills.
Yeah.
But they just snap right to it, and they're all, like, assembly line. Whatever.
Then he, like, eats it. The critic eats it, and, like, I guess his movie was kind of anti-critic a little bit. He eats it, and he, like, remembers being a shitty kid and, like, the French countryside and his mom hating him or something. He just brings him back home.
Yeah. That's how they, like, break the critic. They make him remember the true joy of eating.
Yeah.
So it's like, fuck all you food critics out there.
Yeah. Remember when you were abused as a child? Yeah.
Here's a meal to remind you of that.
Yeah, like, ugh, I wouldn't like that. But then, well, then they kidnap two people. And the chef, too. And then they... I did think the scene where they're like, if you wait after everyone leaves, we'll show you who cooked it or whatever. And I did really like that sequence at the end, because he, like, really waits for it. And he, like... You could tell, like, it mattered to him more than... being a dick critic to everybody.
Yeah, I like that part of it, but I didn't like how the whole time, and I wrote this in all caps, so you know I'm really mad. I don't know why the lady chef just didn't take credit as being the chef. Like, wouldn't that have been great? Then she could have finally, like, made it as a woman and, like, had, you know, female empowerment, blah, 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 whatever. But then you also didn't have to reveal that a rat made the food in the restaurant.
Yeah, I feel like you don't gain anything by admitting it was a rat. You just say it, yeah. No. And they made a whole spiel, like, about, yeah, how, like, women aren't accepted in the food industry and they get treated like crap. And if you do anything, I'll kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, she had to be, like, super tough. They really, like, they had set that up.
Yeah.
But they also set up too much of, like, Remy being... like, jealous and, like, needing recognition. So they kind of had to go that way, but if they maybe had scaled that back a little bit, they could have just had the lady be the critic, or be the, take the credit, and then, yeah, it would have all been fine, I guess.
I don't know.
But they don't. They show the rats, and then I do like how, the restaurant shut down, because... the food critic, they had to let him go eventually, and he saw all the rats in the restaurant, so it's like, okay. Yeah. But at the same time, I feel like that would have probably caused Alfredo and the girl, lady chef, to be, like, discredited forever.
Yeah, like, put in prison.
Yeah, there's probably some lawsuits you could have easily been thrown their way. But instead, the critic funds a new restaurant for them to open that's run by the rats.
And it's called Le Ratatouille.
Oh.
Yes.
The other big problem I had with the previous scene, after they, you know, they make the ratatouille and win over the chef, is they show Alfredo and Colette sleeping that night in different beds. And I'm like, they would definitely bang that night.
100%.
100%. You just, like, had your ultimate victory.
Well, maybe he wasn't being, like, French aggressive enough. I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't have the rat to tell him to,
the rat.
Force himself on this woman.
I am going to do some disgusting imagery, but do you think during sex he was under that hat still? Oh, forgive me.
Yeah, do you think the rat would know how to pleasure a woman more than he would?
Oh, I'm just gonna.
Yeah, that's a good.
I'll ponder that. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, we'll pick this up next time.
I'll do a rat focus group and see what they say.
We'll have it in your retrospective. So yeah, that's pretty much the movie. I mean, the plot itself isn't too complicated, which is nice. It's pretty straightforward, pretty linear.
Like I said,
I do think that they almost could have like cut out those last 10-15 minutes and it would have been fine. But I guess they had a couple loose ends they had to tie up there.
Yeah, it ran a little bit long, but it didn't. I mean, it was like basically 2 hours, but I don't know. Just no, it was pretty solid all around. I think Patton did a good job.
Yeah, I think it was all good. It, like, you know, coming off of Cars, it's like, okay, here's a Pixar's back at it. They know what they're doing again.
And it was a good, like, I think a lot of it was like, flexing their muscles a little bit, like, hey, look, we can do graphic design and computer generation of food and like food textures. And it was like, that's probably really challenging, I imagine.
True, yeah. They made the food look really good. They did a good job at that. And yeah, also kind of like flexing their muscle on just like weird concept movies. Like Cars is kind of like, it's kind of an easy idea to put together for kids' movies. You know, like all kids, mostly boys, grow up liking cars.
Yeah.
But it's like, what kid A likes rats and B has like gives any two shits about fine dining?
Yeah. Or French at all. Like, I feel like.
Yeah, or French people.
Especially around that time, a lot of the narrative in America was like, fuck France, man. They didn't go to Iraq. Yeah. What the hell? Freedom fries. Yes.
Exactly. Freedom toast.
And so this is a very bold move also, I think, because they had to work through all that and be like, you know what? France is still pretty dope.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you still got to respect, you know, they love their food, even though it's not as good as Italian food.
Yeah.
They have their cultural identity there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good movie. And, yeah, glad to see Pixar still know what they're doing there. And it starts kind of a second wave of, you know, a few good movies again until they start making the real shit. So Cars is like, I guess, kind of maybe the canary in the mineshaft. It starts going a little crazy, but it's like, okay, no, it's fine. We got Ratatouille. Next, we got WALL-E, which might be top two or three Pixar movies for me. And then Up, which is very good. Toy Story 3, which is very good.
Yeah.
And then the canary dies.
You mean... Cars 2.
Brings it all back.
I thought you got to the Good Dinosaur, because I've never heard of that. Didn't know when it came out. No idea.
Yeah, we'll get to that. That's still got a good time before that. But at this point, so Ratatouille is number 8.
Mm-hmm.
That's just about halfway.
Yeah.
Because there's now 17 movies out. So, I guess 8.5 would be.
Well, in June, halfway. We get Cars 3. Whoop-dee-doo.
Oh, boy.
It says here, sorry.
No, do it.
That I don't want to do it for Cars 3, but in November 22nd, 2017, so in a little bit, Coco is coming out.
Yeah, I actually do want to see Coco.
We should do, if we're not at, I think we should be at that point by then, but if we're not, we should go see that movie and then do it like then. I would say we should do it for Cars 3, but no, I don't want to do that. Put that off as much as possible.
You mean record the podcast while we're watching Coco in theaters?
No, I mean, like, go see it in theaters, and then, you know, we should see it together in theaters. You should, well, I guess I could.
Hey, we could. Someone could.
Someone could. One of us could. Probably not you, because you live in a better place than I do. So, I would much rather go to you.
Who knows where we're going to live.
there's a certain draft house I'd like to see this movie at.
Mm. It's around my birthday, too.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Just saying.
God damn it. I guess I'm shit out of luck for that, then.
Yeah. I've got a lot more sway here in this argument.
All right. Well, I think
that wraps it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you tell people to go see this movie, you think?
I've already been telling people.
Really?
Yeah, I was kind of geeking out about it a lot. I was like, man, why is the movie so good? Why didn't I know about it? I mean, I knew about it, but like, why didn't I see it yet? Like I said, just because of the tails, probably.
It's probably the tails.
Those damn rat tails. But I should have known, because, yeah, it's Brad Bird, Jan Pinkava again.
Mm-hmm.
Back at it. Because they're a good duo, and then Michael Giacchino on the music. That's why you liked it so much. It wasn't Randy Newman.
It might be it, too. Yeah, no crappy music in this movie. It was... I mean, it was mostly background music, but... And it was, like, French accordion and, like, all this, like, you know.
Like, yeah, I don't know if they... They didn't really have, like, a music, like, scene.
Yeah, not a big score in this movie.
Not a big score, no, like, sing-along scene. It was probably the least kid movie of Pixar movies to this point.
I forgot to mention this before when we were talking about the name Remy. I just want to add that my brother's cat, Remy, is a cat named Remy. Just shout out to Remy, wherever you are. Well, I know where you are. But shouts out to Park Slope.
Fan.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was named after Gambit, not this movie. Mm-hmm. I think my brother or the cat has seen that movie. So I should probably get them to do that.
Your brother hasn't seen Ratatouille?
I mean, I can't prove it. I don't think he has, though.
So next we got WALL-E.
We do have WALL-E.
So we'll get that done. That'll be great. I'm excited for that one.
I'm very excited. I love WALL-E.
Unless we want to do the shorts again, but we'll figure it out.
Well, yeah, we're going to do a shorts.
Off the pod.
There's Lifted and Presto, which are coming up next.
Ooh.
Yes, Lifted, which is what opened Ratatouille, and then Presto, which opened for WALL-E, apparently.
Okay, then we'll be caught up.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, Up with my brothers.
That's right. That's the one. I was like trying to remember. I knew they were trying to come on for one.
I feel
that's
like,
coming up soon.
It is. I got to get them ready.
Yeah. Make sure they've been listening so they know how the flow go.
And then your brother for Cars 2.
Yeah.
Force him to do it.
Yeah, we got to get him back for one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Brave, because I think he has a lot of strong opinions about how much he hates that movie.
I'm excited for that.
Get excited for it. And we're excited. And we'll see you next time.
We love
where
you.
Asterix are. We love you. Bring the love.
Adieu. Doop boop boop doop.